Jill Schlesinger in the Tribune on Monday wrote about cryptocurrencies and NFTs, and she said a lot of us don't like this because it's new to us. But then she said,
but I think the most important aspect is that when you think about NFTs or non-fungible tokens, you really have to focus on this word fungible, because basically it's fun to say and it feels good in your mouth, but it's really the core aspect of this. So what is fungible? It means something that is essentially easily exchanged or traded for something else of the same value or type. So I can hand you a dollar bill, you can hand me a different dollar bill back, and it's exactly the same, right? It's the same value. But if I say I have a piece of artwork, an original Picasso, and I hand it to you, and you hand me back a Picasso poster, those are two very different things. It sort of seems like the same thing, but it's not. So when you look at a piece of art or an antique car, that's called a non-fungible object. It has a unique value. And if you just want to add in the token part, the token is the certificate of authenticity of the non-fungible asset. It's like, hey, this is the real deal. We, the world, have now made sure that we can keep track of that object throughout time.
Which is what the blockchain does. But the thing that is kind of mysterious to us is that at least you can appreciate a Picasso, or you can use a dollar bill to buy a candy bar. How do you appreciate a non-fungible token? What do you, it's a non-tangible item. What do you do with it?
Let's pretend that I have the original digital recording of the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter. I own that.
Okay.
And that is the master from which everything else is derived. Now, I can go to Spotify and listen to that song, but I can't own the master. And so the idea of ownership and then how that ownership is transferred in the future is what distinguishes this idea of NFTs. And I get it. People are like, I can go look at this dunk anywhere on the internet. You can, but it's not yours. You don't own it. So I think that's the real difference here. And by the way, a lot of people would say, you know, they might look at certain artwork and say, like, who would want to own that? Or who would pay gazillions of dollars for that? There is a bit of value ascribed by taste of what people just think is cool to own.
I suppose so, although I think you've described the uniqueness of it, but still, to me, not the appreciation of it, because watching the dunk on my TV, to me, is as entertaining or rewarding as owning the original code of it. And in fact, if I have the NFT, I don't have the rights to that, right? Somebody else can use the video.
You do have certain rights. The master has retained certain rights, and the creator can also retain certain rights. So, and really, when we buy anything that is, whether it is art, whether it is wine, I mean, many people will buy a bottle of wine that they'll never drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a certain part of that which is just a sign, in my mind, of where we are in the economy, which is there's a lot of money chasing after some very interesting assets. And I say that with sarcasm. Like, did I really think that Beeple was going to sell for, you know, $69 million? No. Is that crazy? Probably. But it probably shows you, tells you more about the fact there's so much money that is floating around the world, especially among very wealthy people, and they just want to buy stuff. And this is one more extension of the stuff they're willing to buy.
One last thing, then. You also have been speaking a little bit about digital currencies, cryptocurrencies like Dogecoin and Bitcoin. A friend of mine has purchased, she bought Dogecoin at 0.004, and now it's worth 25 or 45 cents, depending on the day. Any advice for those of us who think, gee, that looks like an easy way to make some money?
Well, I mean, it was certainly easy for your friend. I think that anyone who falls into a the dream of like, oh, I want to get rich quick, it's dangerous. But, you know, if you have any lump sum that's dumped in your lap for any reason, the certified financial planner in me would like to tell you to be smart and make sure that you use that money wisely. A guy contacted my podcast, the Jill on Money Show, which you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcast.
Ding, ding, ding.
And he had essentially become a millionaire by buying Bitcoin early. For your friend, her investment is great, but you know, if it goes right back down to where she bought it, it would not feel so great. So take advantage of your good fortune if you have found it. If you just want to take some piece of your total investments that you're willing to lose, then I don't have a problem with that. But just know that if you lose it, it should not change your life at all. That's the most important part of it.
She was selling it on the way up, so she was kind of banking her money as she went, which looks smart, although I think she also thinks if I'd kept the mother load of it at 0.004 to when it went to 40 cents, she would have had a lot more money, but you just can't know that. And now I'm wondering if, shoot, I'll play with a few $100 and put it in there. What, I could lose that. I could stand that. I wonder if it's going to go from 40 cents to $40 or $400.
Yeah, and you don't know. Like, again, it's the way that most people go into a casino. Most people go into a casino and say, I'm going to take a couple $100 and I'm going to have some entertainment and that'll be fun and that'll be it. And that's great. And you walk in there and you say, this is awesome. I got a couple drinks. I saw a show. It was fun. That's my entertainment. This could be seen as in the same light that, you know, you could say, I want to try this. I'll see how it goes. But again, nobody knows where it's going. Certainly, if you look at the rise and fall of Bitcoin, it's been on quite a ride. I will say that crypto is a much more sound investment today, now that we know that there's big institutions that have sort of adopted it. In the very beginning, it was hard to get on board with something that was being used by, you know, gray market drug dealers, right? So at least is a time where we say banks are allowing it, big payment companies are starting to adopt it. So there's a little bit less of a risk now.
Friend of mine paid for her golf apparel with this kind of currency, or at least could, which I don't know where the tipping point is. Tesla you can buy with cryptocurrency, I think. If General Motors does, maybe we'll really recognize it then as sort of a fundamental institution, you know, that you could buy or use with confidence. But are these cryptocurrencies investments or are they currencies? My dollar tends to be worth 100 cents. How is it that this other currency can be worth a lot more than it was the other day?
Well, I mean, look, it is a currency because it is a way to move money electronically from one person to another. And so, therefore, it has quote unquote currency. I think it trades more, if you're asking me asset class wise, it trades a little bit more like a commodity, more like, say, a gold or silver kind of a commodity.
That's Jill Schlesinger, and you can find her at jillonmoney.com.